Like Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is The Architect.
Hey mate, how's it going?
I'm good mate, how are you?
Living the dream.
Good mate, good. Dream's an interesting way to put it. With us is the Windsock 2000.
G'day Solution. I'm not bad.
It's been a while since you've been on with your daddy.
It took me a while, that one. I'm pretty slow. Yes, it has been a while. Long time. He's been neglecting me.
Yes, that's what he does. That's what he does. He's got a lot of baby mamas and doesn't pay much child support.
working on the Windsock 3000, so.
See, exactly. Proves my point. And with me is Fiona.
How does it feel to be one friend less down? Does it feel good?
Who are you addressing that to?
You! For making me come on here, we are officially no longer friends. So how does it feel to be one less friend down?
And I've been losing so many friends over the course of the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
This is how I want to attack this. So I had a day of contemplation today. I walked into the bush, found a cave, sat in a lotus position. I closed my eyes and viewed the world through my third eye, did some meditation, and I think it is absolutely pointless going through the details of the game and talking about players and who's who and who did what and where and how. And it'd be like... it'd be like a tsunami's gone through your village, wiped everyone out, and you're going to sit there and complain about your brick fence not holding up. That's what it would be like. So I'll do the Herd and Henneman. Won't take me long. But I just have one question. What I do not understand is I reckon within about a minute, I'm not exaggerating, within a minute or 2 minutes, my observation was, oh, we're off the pace here. And then Langford scored a goal, one of our few. 20% of our score happened in the first 2 minutes. And we couldn't chase. We couldn't tackle. We were looked slow. We couldn't make any separation, so couldn't hit targets because we had no targets. We were just listless. We literally looked like we'd been on a big night out or had jet lag or something like that. Can anybody explain to me what happened? Like why that was the case and why we were so far off the pace? Fiona, I'm going to start with you.
For the first time, I have absolutely zero explanation or attempt at an explanation for it. I want to make excuses, but I can't find any, and any explanation that the only possible thing I can think of is that half a dozen of them were had the flu, or the flu gastro ripped through the club, and they were unwell because they just were not interested in anything, and it was right from the tippy top, from the captain to the very bottom. Yeah. Bottom player, they were just not interested in. And granted, Giants played very, very well and pressured us, but I don't think that they were 126 points better. Obviously, that doesn't make sense, but you know what I'm saying. I think it was more about how badly we were than how wonderful. We were exceptional at being so bad, and they were just exceptional. And I thought it was so interesting, right? So the first quarter, and I managed to sit through it only just. I thought Guelphy was by and far the best. He was chasing at everything. He did like three or four lunge, you know, where he's Superman to go and try and smothers. He was running like I've never seen him run. What happens? He pulls a hammy. So I thought to myself, so is that why he doesn't put in 100% effort every week? Because his fitness and his his body, is that what he's not going at 100%? Because when he does, he's pulling muscles. Now, that is might be irrational thinking, but that's the first thing that went through my head because I thought he was really good in the first and tried really hard. Anyway, that's my digression.
No, there's no explanation for me.
Yeah.
No, and you're not making excuses. I've asked you for what the reasons might be, so that's not excuse making.
No.
But I agree, unless there's something...
I've got nothing.
You know, external, like a gastro, it doesn't make sense. What about you, Winsock 2000? Any possible explanation?
So I have a slightly different take. I just think we have a lot of players that really don't give a shit. They're just happy playing AFL footy, getting a paycheck, going through the motions. They don't do anything extra. They're not like dedicated professional athletes. And this is why you get this type of bullshit from this club that happens year on fucking year. You think we're good, right? And then at a point it just turns, and then it just goes, it turns a little bit, and then it turns fucking a lot. And then and then you're like, okay, I can never support this club again. I can never trust this club again. And then next year, they inevitably, they pull you back for another couple of weeks.
Abusive relationship.
It is.
Stockholm syndrome. It's absolutely Stockholm syndrome. Come in 2 months' time, I'll see $700 come out of my bank account and I'll be like, okay, after I've just been absolutely fucking abused for 8 months of the year. Like, it's Stockholm syndrome and I am in it for life. I hope, like, if I live that long, I am hooked. There is no going back.
Unfortunately, I think we're all in that boat. We're going to come back to you, Winsock 2000, because I want to unpack who some of these players are, or who you believe in some of these players are. Do you have any contrary view, Architect?
No, not really. I think you're kind of hitting it on the nail on the head. We've got a lot of downhill skiers, I feel like. Turn up when the game's, you know, going our way. Don't turn up when it's not. I'd wish to dream that it could be something positive in regards to that the club is obviously clear that I think the fitness isn't there, so they've been pushing them harder over the last month, but I think that's wishful thinking.
How long does it take for these players to become fit? Like, I think there's a point in which you say, either we've got players that can't get to the level of fitness ever, like what happened with kind of, you know, like a Francis last year. That was kind of a, you know, a more obvious one.
He looked all right last night.
Did he? Oh, that's fucking great, isn't it? Finally he goes to.
Well, there's his first year at the club, he's playing finals already. He's thinking this is beautiful. Granted, he's probably not playing if McCartan didn't retire and was out concussed. Yeah. But luck is sometimes all that's about in football. But he's thinking, what a sweet ride.
But so to that, so kind of just pausing on him as an example of what you're saying, Winsock 2000.
Well, our system couldn't get his body right for six, seven years.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking unbelievable. And so, and we always hang on to these players that aren't working for us.
But there's a couple of different things there. So firstly, on the fitness component, so he's example A for sure, exhibit A, because this does feel like a courtroom, so we'll call it exhibit A. Is it the fitness staff? Didn't we have a new guy come in?
No.
This year? No?
No. And that's
couple,
part
couple
of...
A couple years ago, wasn't it?
That's part. Yeah. No, it was the Hawthorn guy, and that was there for 3-4 years. But this was the thing that I tweeted at the start of the year. The review came out, and it showed that we were so lacking in the fitness levels. Brad Scott made mention that compared to other elite clubs, he'd seen the fitness levels. It was all about the fitness levels. Granted, lots of other things needed changing, but every department had a shift except the fitness department. Nobody was moved on, and there was no new inclusions at the start of the year, and, of course, the recruitment department. Now, tell me, if you change every single aspect of a club or anything and you're still getting the same result, what is that telling you? So it's either the players, the fitness staff not getting them their bodies right, or the recruiting. It's got to be, because every other facet has changed over hands. We've changed locations. Everything's changed, but we still have this culture of conditional effort. It's never unconditional. It's always conditional.
We'll get to recruitment for sure. So fitness, is that something that you can, going back to your original point, Winsop 2000, you know, the club can lay it out, sit at the table, but it requires individuals to have that absolute professionalism, to go that extra mile, as you're saying, do everything that not at the club that isn't seen.
Yeah. When you go home, you still have to live like a professional athlete. You can't get on the beers and the party pies or whatever. Right? You, in the season, you have to keep your body at the level that it needs to be. I just don't trust our players that they're doing that based off efforts like that.
Yeah. What about the talk about the ground and the training ground? We got any?
I don't think so. There's some soccer team that one of the A-League teams or something trains on that as well. They don't seem to get injured every 5 seconds like us, do they? I don't know. I don't watch really, A-League soccer. Really,
so. We're clutching at straws, aren't I?
It can't be. I just don't think it's possible.
So then, to your next point, who? Who are these people?
Who?
In your opinion.
It's who are yeah. then? Who, so you who said aren't, you s- who aren't these people? I think is a shorter list. I'd say Merritt. I doubt he's one of these people. I think he's the kind of bloke that would go look after himself. The house that he lives in would be, you know, spick and span, would be clean lines, no dust on the window ledge or anything like that. He's a professional athlete.
He's neurodivergent. He'd be OCD. Everything. He'd be weighing out to the gram his proteins. I'm only confident in two players being like that, Merritt and 2 Meter. And I know.
That's
for
the
fact,
one I was going
to
say.
I know for a fact. So you can take that to the bank. That 2 Meter is absolutely, if not more than Merritt, he's 100% on the same level as Merritt. And they're the only two I can actually trust in that lead the Christian Petrarca lifestyle, where they absolutely, every part of their life is to get ascendancy in their career.
The rest of them are living like kids.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious, they're in share houses. They're on, what do I see on Twitter, Lavs fucking with the boys playing Fortnite. Like, come on, guys. I don't mean you can't play video games every now and again, but it just doesn't fill me with confidence, these guys.
No. You got anything to add, Architect, on this matter?
I don't know. I probably don't know enough about the players personally, but I would have thought, you know, the likes of Ridley and Langford, like, you at least know what you're getting. So I wouldn't say it's just probably those two. I'm sure there's probably a critical group. Like Dylan Scheel, for example, hasn't been playing, but with how he looks and, you know, sorry, how he turns up and body kind of physique and all that, you know, he's looking after himself outside of the football season.
Mainly with the waxing and the, you know.
That's it. Spends all his time getting the fake tan. But I'm sure there's more than just those two that are obviously pulling it, but I think you're fundamentally right. Winsock 2000, there is a lot of kids, or they act like a lot of kids, just, you know, they are literally living the dream and therefore they're just happy to be there.
Well, that comes down to, like, the leadership. Who is there holding these kids accountable and setting the standards? Now, Merritt, I've always said this, I think he's excelled in leadership this year, but he's not the kind of personality who's going to stand at the club and visit these kids at home and say, hey, what's that, or make a trip to their houses and just pull them into line. He's not that kind of personality. And that's not a diss on his leadership. That's just his personality. And so the leadership in holding these players, other players, accountable and setting the standards and saying these are the non-negotiables and they're the non-negotiables. And if you don't kind of follow by these standards, then you don't get picked. There's nobody there upholding that.
Yeah, so that's standards. And look, I mean, people can argue around the edges, but you couldn't. I don't think you could argue that we look like we've run out of steam prematurely. And, you know, maybe, I mean, the only thing as a positive, maybe Brad Scott has driven them harder this year, harder pre-season, harder earlier in the year, and the payoff will come in a year's time, following year. Also,
we'll come with... Is it, are they in like, have they been training so hard that their bodies are just in pain and they physically cannot move around the football field? Like, I'm just fascinated to understand how they actually feel within their own selves. Because, like, I think it's, you don't, just because you're like a little bit tired or whatever mentally, you can still put in effort if you want to, right? Mm. But are their bodies just completely fucked? And how the hell does that happen to 22 players at the same time?
Like, that's the problem, yes.
That's fucked, you know?
It's impossible. So
the fit players, the Merritts, like, they didn't look good. They, you know, I obviously only watched like, you know, half the game or whatever. There were only like one or two players that looked like, you know, they were kind of up for it, maybe three. Like Langford was kind of up and about, Hind was a little bit up and about. The rest of them looked like the shit.
Is it possible that they had, that Brad Scott put them through the hardest preseason that they've ever actually had and actually set standards in the preseason, that it's gotten them through, it's held them in good stead for half the season, but now their bodies are starting to break? Is that letting them off too easily? Like,
the bodies even work like that? Is there a 6 month delay?
No, if they've gone 8 seasons or whatever, how many seasons without being put through your paces, maybe the standards that Brad Scott expects of them in the preseason and every week, like that all other clubs are doing, but our boys have never been doing because we've been such a shit club, but all of a sudden Brad Scott's come in and said, no, you have to do this every week, and their bodies are just not used to it. And so they break down, and then you get a performance like yesterday. That kind of, that psychologically makes sense to me, but I just don't know if that's an excuse.
It's also the only kind of, it's one of the few logical explanations for why an entire group of people would look tired.
That's right. Yeah.
There's some other less positive, because that's a really glass half full. That's a hopeful approach.
Well, get in the boat and row, because get in the boat and row, because mentally I need it. I need that to be the reason, because this football club is going to start paying for therapy for all of us, unless that's the reason.
the litmus test on that is next week. There's a game left. It's against Collingwood, and we'll get, you know, probably get to it later. But that's the test, you know. It's if they come out,
we're mathematically,
you know, that we've got no fucking idea what's going on in this place.
We mathematically can still make it. So if they come out firing, I will be pissed.
All right. Well, let's move to recruitment. Now, I did send a tweet yesterday, that was, or an X or whatever the fucking are, post. It was something along the lines of, have we reached the part of the thrashing yet where we start turning on each other? And I said, I'll start. What did I say? I said, I'll start. Dodoro deserves more time. Now, some people didn't get the joke. So,
but you actually believe that, though, don't you?
I don't think
support of Dodoro.
We'll get to Dodoro, but I don't think it's obviously deserves more time for a guy that's been there 20 years is clearly sarcastic, but some people literally said no, he doesn't have, and actually literally responded, it was like, no, that was the joke, was let's start turning on each other. And of course I didn't need to throw any fuel on the fire because it was already raging. but he has been there. I mean, I've always said he looks like a Thunderbirds character. He's a weird looking unit. You hear stories about him, but I would say his recent draft picks, everyone's happy with Tsardis. Everyone's happy with Hobbs.
Nah, fuck that. Mine, Freddie, could have picked those. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, okay. So I'm going to go firstly to you, Architect. My question is, what we don't have is an elite star. Have we missed on anyone really in the last 3, 4, 5 years with our picks that were clear and obvious errors that we've made? I don't know that we have, and I think that his recent kind of track record's pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, no. I think he's very good at picking 175 centimetre tall midfielders, and then that's his specialty. He's very good at it. But they love butchering the ball. So, yeah, I think 20 years is enough.
We'll go on, Fiona.
No, I'm just saying, how many things have to go wrong before? Is he indestructible? What information does he have when you turn over a complete fucking club and he still remains? I don't understand. Like, what have we got to lose? He clearly is not setting the house on fire. He's been there for 20 plus years. Of course he's going to get one right every 6 years or so. You know, like...
That's a bit extreme.
Do the math. This is statistically average. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I need to see wholesale. I need to see a change in that department. If for nothing else, then a fresh set of eyes.
Wins up 2000.
The tough thing is, I think in his recent drafts, after the draft, everyone's felt pretty comfortable with the picks.
That's my point.
But what we don't know is kind of the conversations and the professional nature of these players that he's picking up, because some of them are looking pretty bloody average a couple of years in.
Well, yeah, and your product of your environment. So if the environment's not right, the professionalism's not there.
Yeah.
But could I also suggest the picks, Reed and Cox, are you convinced on them so far? So, and Tsardis, yes, he's showing glimpses, but are we really categorically calling them wonderful, wonderful picks? Like, we can't.
I'll throw Archie in there as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's good, but I don't. I'm not sure.
To quote Rick Ross, not a star. I reckon he's a star.
He could be. He's got the potential. Yeah. But I'm saying in terms of recent, you're putting that opinion on
he's
potential.
He's not going to be a star.
You're putting that opinion on his recent picks and potential.
If Reed doesn't make it, it's likely going to be because of his dodgy hamstrings. And that gets back to the initial point. What's going on with the medicos and our fitness?
Yeah.
I bet if he got picked up by Sydney, he'd probably be excelling. But also, yeah, you're right, Wingsong 2000. That's why nobody picked him, because they foresaw that he's a tall baby giraffe with legs that go as tall as the Eiffel Tower. And it's probably not conducive to a long, successful AFL career. I hope I'm wrong. He's the one I'm most excited about, above Cox and Archie, to be quite honest. I hope he makes it. But I just think it's too early to say he's got the picks right.
It's anything else to add? So are we sacking Dodoro? Is this what we're doing? I'm a no. Fiona's a yes. Thumb up.
I think it's time.
I don't know if it makes a difference.
Yes, Wingsong 2000.
No, Wingsong. Come on, what have you got to lose? We've changed everything else.
True. That's a good point.
Come on, like he's even pushed out Josh Marnie. Like he, in that battle, he's indestructible. He's got to go. He's got new.
He's a cockroach, man.
He is. He will not die, and it's time.
But yeah, he could be a part of the culture that's clearly not not right. Well, he must be because he's been there for 20 years. But, yeah, so if he's contributing to that kind of non-professional kind of culture and high standard culture that you need to have if you're going to be a successful team, yeah, he's got to go. And so does anyone else.
All right. Well, shall I give a Herd and Henneman?
Sure. Good
is there
luck.
A point? Is there a point giving a Herd?
Yeah, I'll get. I had two players in mind who I thought both tried. One was McGrath. The other was Parrish.
Hind, surely.
Hind tried as well, but Hind still for me. He still runs into those cul-de-sacs, and still
McGrath doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
He tends to run into tunnels where it is where he thinks there's a light at the end of it and it ends up being a train.
Yeah. Someone teach him how to handball with his left hand after this many years.
Something there.
What the fuck is that? Like I can almost excuse a foot, but not a hand.
It's a weird Canadian thing. The left hand's the hand you eat maple syrup with, maybe, so you can't learn to handball. Okay. You want to go Hind? You're asking me for Hind?
I'm nominating Hind. I think when nobody was moving, when everybody was static, he was at least trying to keep the energy up with his little dancing feet running around in circles. I would be happy to watch him run around in circles and the rest of them flat-footed pretend jogging. You know I love that shit. Not. And the Redmond pretend jog chase, that was fucking abysmal. Yeah, I could not believe what I saw. He missed the easiest mark and then pretend jogged and let the GWS player just stroll through. That is ridiculously bad. And it's a bad look for a guy who just signed. It's a bad look.
He's had a bad month, actually. Mm. No, okay, no, you've convinced me. I'm going Parrish. Darcy Parrish. Herd. One of the softest herds you'll ever get. But anyway, now the Henneman, fuck, it's a Melbourne Cup field, I tell you. I'm going to mention some names. This is in no particular order. Peter Wright, Peter Wrong, yet again. Sam Draper, needn't have bothered. The combine harvester ran out of diesel.
First quarter? Which quarter?
Look, he might as well not have bothered, and I felt sorry for him. He shouldn't have been there. Laverde, terrible. The ball was down there a fair bit, a lot. Nick Pox, inauspicious is the word I'd use. Others would say shit. Jake Kelly, he's ascended. I don't think his adventures on the wing have done him any good. And
certainly
I know
he had a
god awful game.
He has not extended his career any longer, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's
tag not his fault, but sure.
No, he
was playing the back line this week.
Yeah,
he was.
I think he was. He still thought he was playing on the wing. Look, there's more. Hep had one of his like throwback 2022 games where everything he touched turned to shit. But I'm giving it to a guy who's really.
Oh, you're not taking nominations? Okay.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'll take nominations. Go. Yeah, please. Anyone else want to nominate?
I thought you were going to nominate someone.
I've mentioned most of the team. Have you got none?
I was just making a fact. Opening it up to the floor.
I thought only because
Architect, anybody? I thought Durham was very poor.
Yeah, he was. Still can't lay a tackle. It's been like how many years?
But he's also, yeah, it's hard to judge yesterday's game. It just felt, I mean, they were all crap, but.
Yeah. But I'm going to give it to a guy who just has not done enough. This is an accumulative. sure. Maybe that's harsh. I was going to give it to Peter Wright.
Ooh.
Did you see the entries?
Cumulative.
Did you see the entries? And he had four on him as well.
Yeah, but he's too. He doesn't do enough. He does not do enough for my liking. For a guy who was so good last year.
Did Merritt do enough yesterday?
No.
As a leader?
No, that's true. It's controversial. I'm going to give it to Zerk Thatcher.
Well, Thatcher, you've just swung to the other end of the ground from 2 metres to...
Yeah. And I was going to give it to his mate, Levert. Could have been him. But I'm giving it to Zerk because it's easy to say that the ball just flew down and he had, you know, the world against him and he wasn't getting help. But there was a number of times when he was, like everyone else, he was listless and slow and behind the pace. But it's just really, really obvious when it's your fullback that's like that. Midfielders can hide a little bit. Not everyone sees the lack of chasing. Not everyone sees the missed one percenters. But Zerk's had a really good year, but he kind of exemplifies maybe what's happened in the last month or so. And, yeah, sorry, Zerk. That'll be controversial, I'm sure.
It may be a little bit, but I think you could have gone to anyone. But he's another player that is with 4 or 5 years into his development, in inverted commas, and he hasn't really had a bad run of injuries, unlike some others. He's had, you know, he's played a hell of a lot of games in the VFL. And if he's not fit and he's not firing, then I don't know, like, the club is completely fucked.
Well,
should we get the list drug tested after the game just to see they weren't all high?
Valium?
That would explain a lot. And I hope to God they come back positive.
Valium, perhaps. Weed.
Or is it a bit cheeky to say that they've just got their eyes set on Europe trips? They got some good deals with Flight Centre or some shit that they couldn't get out of, so they purposely just didn't make finals.
I think Winsock 2000 makes a point. I think they're very – yeah, I don't think they are ultra-professional athletes.
And but to be honest, Zerk strikes me as one who there's no leadership down there. Who's holding him accountable to his behaviours outside of? Do you know what I mean? Like, who's there as a strong head saying,
no one.
Zerk?
Yeah. You know who we really miss? We actually really
Ridley.
Miss Ridley. We really miss Ridley.
It all went to shit when he did his quad.
It took a Brisbane supporter to point it out to me yesterday, who said, yeah, "Fuck it, that Ridley's a good player, and you just don't look the same team without him." And I think that's a very valid point, because other than just his football ability, he does I don't know what the mail is on him, but he plays like a leader.
Yeah,
he's cool, he's calm, he puts his body on the line, he is disciplined, he does everything that you'd want a key position player to do. Zerk's been going solo, you know, he's been Jason Derulo
That didn't deserve the laugh that I gave it.
That's because you'll take anything right now, yeah?
Yeah, I really will, and I'm on the happy juice, so, you know, yeah. you could say anything and I'd probably laugh at it.
All right. Anything else on the game before we move on?
I will say that people who are bagging Brad Scott and wishing for Hurd and saying that Hurd would never have let this happen.
No, no one's doing that. No one's
yes,
doing
they
that.
Were. There were a few on my timeline.
I saw some like that.
Yeah, and that was the mute button straight away. I just want to say there is no universe where this is Brad Scott's fault. No universe whatsoever where Brad Scott has any accountability here. He is finding out about the team, the club, what he's got to work with, what he needs to demand Dodoro, if we have to enjoy him for another end of season recruitment. He has to be given the right to mould this team and the club in how he wants. So whoever, if you believe, if you need to find a scapegoat, look elsewhere.
I think he's our only hope.
Obi-Wan. Yeah. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's the only hope. Or Luke was the only hope. But anyway. What?
Who's Luke?
Skywalker.
Star Wars.
Oh, no, I don't do Star Wars.
No, Obi-Wan was the hope of...
Oh, no, now I've descended into...
Yeah.
Yep, cool.
For any of the listeners, Winslow 2000 actually looks like Obi-Wan a little bit right now.
That's true. Yeah. Original, not the prequel.
No.
I think he's the only guy. If we lose him, we're absolutely stuffed.
It's true. If back in the... Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, he's the only one that I have any faith in the entire system.
Back when I used to name the podcast episodes, it would have been our only hope. This would have been the name of the podcast. It's a very good point. The only thing I disagree with in terms of what you said, Fiona, is Brad Scott has 100% accountability. He is the man accountable for this team. But I am holding steadfast to the belief, and he said it, that he's putting future before present. He's putting next year and subsequent years, and he's trying to set up a sustainable structure rather than the yo-yoing 9th, 8th, lose a final, back to 12th, 8th, back to 12th, which is part of the reason we haven't had great draft picks and made it harder for Dodoro, by the way.
I meant he shouldn't be accountable for yesterday's performance.
I don't think,
aside from selection, Draper, you know, I don't think he'd be on the bottom of the list of reason explanations for mine.
Yep. But to Winslow 2000's point, if he's not the man, we do have no hope. We do have no hope. It's true.
Literally no one else could do the job.
No one else would want to do it.
Exactly.
Well, that's the point.
It looks like it's the cursed position at the minute.
Yeah, we haven't had a great run.
So in the Star Wars world, who's James Hurd in?
Darth Vader?
No.
Is he the bad one? Because if he's Darth Vader, then yes. It's reality, but his decisions, rightly or wrongly, screwed the club. It really did. Yeah. It set us back.
Yeah, you're right. He was Anakin. So Anakin before he turned Darth, I think.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know what that means.
Everyone thought he was
the same one
to take us, you know, to bring back the Force, right? The Jedi's.
Oh, okay.
It didn't happen.
We've fallen onto Star Wars analogies. Okay.
Welcome to Nerd Hour.
And you know who Jake Stringer is? Jabba the Hutt. Snelling is Yoda. Baby Yoda. But anyway, that means there will be redemption. We won't open the Pandora's tin can of worms
around the whole
saga thing. Jar Jar Binks, jeez. That was Xavier Campbell. He was Jar Jar Binks. Xavier Campbell was Darth Vader.
He might have been Palpatine.
Yeah,
because he was really working for the Emperor, which was Andrew Demetrio / Gil. But anyway, we've taken this way too far. All right, moving on to douche and deity of the week. Has anyone got any nominations? We did the Matildas last week, so I don't think we can do them again. And also, they choked last night. No, only joking.
How about Ange?
Yeah.
3-0.
So this is, fuck me. So Winslow 2000 is a Spurs fan. I used to love Ange Postecoglou. Look, I'm glad you beat United, and I'm always happy to see that, but I am worried about Ange Postecoglou. I'll accept your deity.
I am too.
I'll accept your deity, but I'm not happy about it. Anyone else got one? I'd rather not give it to the Spurs manager, even if it is Ange. No? All right. Have you got a douche for us? Architect, can we contribute something?
Yeah, I want to give it to the AFL for AFL. The goal line technology for is it a behind or is it a goal?
I think Fiona's lost the plot. Is she dying? Do we need to call an ambulance? You're right. Why are you laughing with your on mute?
The wine just went up my nose because I laughed. Oh God. Okay.
That should have been on. Should have been live. Sorry, continue.
They've sold the umpire down. Don't get me wrong. Shit call. It was a goal. They've sold him down the creek though, saying he's not doing any more games for the end of the year. But the AFL have been really shit with the goal line technology. I don't know how they can actually use it with any confidence whatsoever. It seems that the angles that they seem to want to use are shit. They don't have the touching the post. What is it? What do they call it? Like the snicko or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like how that never, isn't never standard working. In every ground. It's like, for fuck's sake, it's embarrassing.
I am so glad you. I hope Fiona's all right. I'm so glad you brought that up, Architect. Firstly, Gil McLaughlin coming out in his R.M. Williams, you know. Yeah, wealthy pastoralist look that he likes to convey. Fuck, that guy's a wanker. But he, sold the umpire up the river. It wasn't a failure. It wasn't human error. They tried to put it down to human error. It was failure of process for a start. And this was the one time, and I've said this many, many times, we get all these camera angles. It sheds no light 99 times out of 100 on the decision. And they always say, they could cut to the third umpire or the umpire in the stand who says conclusive proof that it's a point or a goal, and it's never conclusive. This was the one time it was conclusive proof. The one time it was conclusive, and it was a failure of process that nobody picked it up and said, no, that's close enough, we need to review it. And what it's done is it's disempowered the goal umpires. I cannot recall prior to this goal. I say technology in loose terms. It makes the Winsock 2000 look space age. I can not recall a goal umpire making an error in like the previous 30 years of me watching footy. And then suddenly they bring this technology in, and umpires no longer feel like they can make a call and second guess themselves. So it's a complete clusterfuck, like the whole umpiring department.
Even the one last week, the was the Carlton player that touched.
Yeah,
touched. No, he fucking didn't.
Yeah, agree.
Like, you fucking kidding me?
You know what?
There's
was
no way he touched it.
Bullshit. I was reading the transcript of Gil's presser today. Do you know how many times he said, it's just the same as an umpiring decision, and we know there are mistakes repeatedly throughout games. And there's mistakes all the time throughout games. And I thought to myself,
sure,
why am I watching a game where the hierarchy are openly covering themselves by saying mistakes happen or repeatedly through games? That was like a quote verbatim of what he said. He is so instead of trying to simplify the rules so there is a bit of black and white to make it for the umpires easy, we're just saying that this whole competition is corrupt because, one mistake, it's repeat, all mistakes. Throughout a whole game, it's all mistakes, repeated mistakes. And I just was like, what am I doing supporting this fucking sport?
And the subtext is also Sydney are the AFL's darling child.
Oh,
yes.
You know,
how many are they going to be on the end of?
Both market.
If Essendon are the red-headed stepchild of the family, that gets the raw the raw deal. They get everything. They are the golden child. And
just to rub in the salt in the wound, Bulldogs tanked today. They absolutely tanked it, which would have meant Adelaide was essentially guaranteed a finals. That is disgusting. I am glad we got pummeled by 126 points, because I tell you what, if that was Essendon, I'd be halfway to Mexico by now and I'd be throwing my passport in. I'd be selling it to some Mexican, literally, and never coming back. I am so glad that I did not, that I honestly, that did not happen to Essendon.
And I just love it. What's Adelaide's recourse as well on this? They've got none. It's just to accept it. It's absolute bullshit. They should absolutely not be accepting it.
Okay. Yeah, you just reminded me of the Mexican game.
And by that, I mean give it to a Mexican person who can come and take my place here and fulfill the pain that it is an Essendon supporter. They can come and live in my apartment, they can drive my car, and they can fucking make their way to Essendon games every week. And I will be in Mexico on some island with a horse, and I will not look back.
We will finally become the Bombres.
Yeah.
After all. All right. I think that's it. Oh shit. Next week. No, there's another game.
You just reminded, but we're still mathematically possible. We just have to win by 200 points. That's it.
Can we just stop saying that? Yeah. Like, completely just, it's not. We're not.
Well, it was a joke, and of course, everybody didn't take it seriously. Nobody expects me to be funny, because everybody kept replying, "Are you an idiot? No, we're not. You idiot. We have to." I'm like, my God, are you fucking for real? Like, clearly, I am being facetious here.
Yeah, and Architect just made that same mistake.
Yeah, he did. Come on, Architect. Yep. Do you know me better than this?
Clearly not.
I'm hurt by that. I'm really hurt.
Maybe you have to make a parody account, your own account, so that people understand when you're sarcastic.
Even my Wiedemann comment. People are saying, "Oh, and how's he going?" I said Wiedemann. It all fell apart when Wiedemann was dropped.
Your comment.
He was the glue that kept us together. That was my tweet. People replying, "Oh, have you been watching the VFL?" I'm like, I was like, could that have been more of a joke? Could not have made that more of a joke anyway.
Maybe just put in brackets next time when you're making them. This is a joke, so everyone knows.
Yes. Oh,
all right. Well, so we're Friday night. 7:50 PM.
Prime time.
Because that was the only good thing about yesterday, was we weren't prime time and we're anything but. Is there any world where we turn up and actually put in some kind of effort? A lot of thinking going on, a lot of chin scratching.
Yeah, we'll probably win.
You reckon? Did you use predictive analytics for that, to determine that decision?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your, how many points?
Oh, not a lot. We don't have the capability to win by any more than 2 goals.
I thought you were going to say 126.
I thought you were going to say 200. Come on.
So you're saying 2 goals.
Just to kind of rub it in.
Oh, the pain. Yep, just to make the pain real.
And finish
fuck our draft potential.
Yeah.
Like, and we'll lose Parrish. And then we'll get, like, the shittest pick.
Yeah.
Full Essendon.
Yeah, we'll get, like, a 20 pick 30 or something for Parrish. All right. Architect?
So I reckon we'll play better, because I don't know if it's physically possible to play worse.
Good point.
But I still reckon we'll get pumped by 40 plus.
Fiona?
Yeah, we'll lose comfortably, maybe 55.
Yeah, I'm going to say 72 points. And you think this week was bad, strangely, even though we'll be losing by less, it'll be a carnage on the social media.
Collingwood fans. Oh, and at the game, if anybody's going.
Don't go.
No. Yep.
That might be, and it's an Essendon home game. Come on, aren't we meant to encourage people to go?
It might just be the best advice that anybody could get.
It's horrible, especially Collingwood. Like, it's
they are
the absolute worst team to go and put a shit performance. Oh. So I'll just be droning the whole time.
I am secretly glad that our finals hopes are not resting on this game, because Collingwood would love, and their fans would just be frothing at the thought of, like, kicking us out of the finals. So I'm glad that at least that's not resting on this game. So small silver linings.
Yeah, small consolation, I guess. All right.
I can't believe there's one more game. Oh,
so Wizox 2000 don't go.
Unbelievable.
Just at home game. This is why we don't get any love from the club. All right. Now, song of the week. Why should I put in any effort for Essendon? So I'm just going to pull out the classic Wind of Change Rooms. You've probably heard it, Architect. I don't know if you've heard it. Windsock 2000 before. Or,
no, I haven't.
You know,
nah.
You didn't listen?
Too depressed.
Okay.
No, yeah, well, you did send it through, and I haven't listened to it yet. No.
Well, it's Wind of Change is the... Do you know that song, Fiona? No, shaking your head. When the Berlin Wall came down, there's a song called Wind of Change.
And who sings it?
Was that the Hasselhoff one?
Scorpions, I think it's called.
No,
Hasselhoff.
You don't even know who sings it.
Scorpions, I think it is. I think it's Scorpions. They're a European. It's a very European pop type.
You can't create music and not know the singer or song.
Scorpions, there you go. I did know it.
Okay.
Anyway, I did Wind of Change Rooms, which is just about how stinky men are and how they fart a lot. So enjoy that. It's probably fitting. It's the only song I ever used the drum kit, actually the drum kit I've got in the back here. I am so excited. We do have a finale song, which is happening. Which I can't wait for. Heads in hands.
You've got a very evil smile, so I'm really worried.
Yeah. I am the only one who stands to lose anything here. My dignity, because you are all anonymous.
Well, all I can say is it's going to feature. I'm not anonymous.
You are. Nobody's seen your face. You're behind an anonymous.
Everyone saw me tied down by Kevin Sheedy in 1989. Everyone, I'm sitting in the museum. What are you talking about? This is the only time they let me out.
It was an awful idea. It was an awful, mean, sadistic idea, and you need to be punished.
All I'm going to say, we have a band this time rather than a solo effort. So it'll be good. But anyway, it's just a teaser. So next week will be, at least we also know next week.
Can I ask, has everybody got the homework in?
Actually, the guy who said he thinks he might follow Carlton hasn't yet.
Oh,
how did he not get a deuce? How did he not get the douche?
All right.
That he's following Carlton.
You know what? Jez, you are the douche. It's a very good point.
You never fall that low.
The last podcast we tend to have everybody on, I was tempted to give you a ban, but because it's the last podcast, you might get a reprieve, but you really are. I've said you're on thin ice before, and a man of your size should never be on thin ice. So, yeah, just you're on notice. But, yeah, you win the douche. You win the douche for that. Good, very good point, Architect. You finally did contribute something. Well done. All right. Well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out the sponsor, Something About Cake. Go on, have a browse, buy something. We've got the final, the FFF coming, final Fiona's forecast. We might go deep into some Fiona's couch questions too, maybe clear the backlog. So,
there might be a lot of therapy related questions this week.
I tell you what, and how do people submit questions again?
I'll put up the NGL link again.
Okay. But they can also find it on your Twitter handle, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you just go to that and you can get your therapy next week. And the final podcast next week, final of our 10th 10-year anniversary season. So thanks to everyone that listened. The Winsock 2000's words, don't go. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, Bombers.
Hey, Bombers.
Really?
You're gonna pull out the drum kit again?
No, that would require more effort.
Used to play football down the local park, remembering the smell of change rooms. A July winter's night, a shower's wet towel fight, smelling like the wind of change rooms. The moment on a pie night where the beer farts drift away on the wind of change rooms. The smell is closing in, and did you ever think that we would shower together like brothers? It's putrid in the air, teammates farting everywhere, stinking up the wind of change rooms. Take me to the magic of the moment on a pie night where the beer farts drift away on the wind of change rooms. Take me to the magic of the moment on a pie night where the beer